up or down? Where we go?
Good morning, Travelers Rest.
Good morning.
Good morning, Travelers Rest. Attention, attention.
Good to see everybody here this morning. Glad to see so many people in the balcony. That's the handbells singing, I imagine. As we get started today of our worship, we'd like to celebrate the day that it is, the glorious day. So if you would, stand and help us sing. Today is the day.
Casting my cares aside, leaving my past behind, setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Putting my fears aside and leaving my doubts. Reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today's the day. Today's the day.
And I will stand upon your truth.
And I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I live for you.
And I will stand upon your truth.
All my days I live for you.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
While you're still standing, let me invite you to turn and greet those who are worshiping around you this morning.
So next week, I want us all to go out there during this time, but I didn't give us enough warning.
So good morning.
You already did it.
It's kind of weak. Let's try again. Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to Travelers Rest United Methodist Church. I am Brian Gilmer. I'm your pastor here. As we begin today, a couple things. If you're seated closest to the center aisle, there's a pew pad there, and I invite you to take that pad and sign your attendance, register it here, and pass it down the aisle. When it gets to the end, pass it back. If you're a guest with us today and don't mind giving us some information, we'd be glad to receive that, and I promise you we will not bug you with that, but we will share a couple of things with you over this next week of things that are happening in the church, ways you can get involved. Announcement-wise this morning, there are quite a few announcements in the bulletin, so I'm not going to read all those things to you, but I'm going to remind you about a couple of big things. Forever 55, your meeting is happening May 16th, and there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex in the lobby. If you're attending that or planning on attending that, then I invite you to sign up there. Also in the lobby this morning, on Friday, May the 31st, the Greenville Drive is having what they call their Faith and Family Night. And we as a church family are going to go, and we'll have a block of tickets for the baseball game. And so we'll be able to sit together. So if you're interested in that, we are selling those tickets out in the Narthex lobby today. We have to sell them ahead of time so we know how many tickets to block off. Right now, we've got some pretty good seats along third baseline. So if you're interested in that, I think it'd be a great time for us to fellowship together as a church family. Pickleball and Jesus is still going on, and all the dates for this month are listed. If you aren't familiar with pickleball, but you want to learn, this is a great place to come and learn about pickleball, and also just fellowship with some folks from our community and our church. Vacation Bible School is happening June 24th through 27th. We still need some volunteers, and we still need some donations of artificial trees, either with or without lights. Our theme this year is like a camping theme, so we're trying to create a forest. So if you can help us create the forest, there's information in there of who to contact and what to do with your trees if you can allow us to use those. The last announcement that I'll share with you this morning is one we've been waiting to say for several years. Tomorrow is the first day of construction. Yeah. Construction starts tomorrow for our new improvements, renovations, and we'll start, like we have told you the last couple of weeks, in the parlor and the foyer of the parlor. So those two places for the next 6 to 8 weeks are kind of out of play, out of bounds. And so if you ride by starting tomorrow, I think they told me they were going to start bright and early at 7 o'clock. So be in prayer for those guys as they work, but also for all that God's going to do through this renovation. As we continue to worship this morning, let me invite you to stand and join me in the call to worship that is in the bulletin. It's also on the screen, and we'll read that call to worship responsively this morning. We are gathered as God's beloved children. We come together as people whom Jesus calls into community. We have come to give thanks, to pray and to sing, and to be with each other.
Take my moments and my days, let them flow in.
may be seated. We come now to our time of prayer. And as we begin our time of prayer today, just want to give you an update. As I've been telling you the last couple of weeks, the General Conference of the United Methodist Church has been taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. Delegates from all around the world have come together to make decisions for the United Methodist Church moving forward. I hope that you've been in prayer for that General Conference. It ended on Friday. Hope you are following along, provided some resources for you, and will provide more for you as they come out moving forward in the coming weeks. Here's what I kind of want to share with you, and I wrote it out because I didn't want to shoot from the hip and mess up, so I wrote all this out, and this is what I wrote. It's too early to assess the work of the General Conference, but the headlines and early reports have told us that a lot of good and amazing work was done by all the delegates from around the world over the last 2 weeks. The ramifications for some of these decisions may take a while for us to fully comprehend and to go into action, and pertinent information will be put out for us in the coming weeks. I know that there's been a lot of conversation and discussion about some of the issues that might have been decided at General Conference, especially in regards to human sexuality and inclusion. And so here is my very basic understanding of what happened at General Conference as they pertain to just those issues, because there are a lot of other issues that took place at General Conference that were good things for our church. But I want to share just a couple things about those two issues. So at General Conference over the last 2 weeks, a lot of the restrictive language has been removed from the Book of Discipline, and doors are opened, I think, for greater ministries. The removal of language around human sexuality returns our Book of Discipline to where it was at the founding of the church in 1784 until around 1972, when the General Conference first added what they have called restrictive measures to the Book of Discipline. You're probably thinking, what does all that mean? Here's what it means. The long-term restrictions against full participation in the life and leadership of the church by homosexual persons has been eliminated. The United Methodist Church will no longer discriminate against gay persons or members of the LGBTQ community. And as with heterosexual persons, they will now be considered as being eligible for credentialing as pastors. Moving forward, the United Methodist Church will neither forbid nor require same-sex marriages in its churches or settings. This change allows churches and clergy to operate according to their conscience without consequence. Here's what I know. I know that we all have different views and opinions on these matters, and there is much diversity amongst all people in the United Methodist Church. But here's what I love about the United Methodist Church. For me, the reason I'm staying United Methodist and have stayed is that the United Methodist Church has always been a place where we can agree to disagree on certain issues. It's been a place where differing views can sit on the same pew and worship together and serve together. It's been a place where we love one another despite our differences. It's been a place where love and grace is shared with all of God's children. And what I think is that the work of General Conference kind of solidifies these views, gives us a hope for a brighter future of making disciples for Jesus Christ. And then somebody reminded me this week that at moving forward, we can finally, maybe as the United Methodist Church, fully embrace our church motto. Does anybody know what it is? Open hearts, open minds, open doors. Any information that I find in the next couple weeks, I'll push out to you, but I wanted to share just my understanding of what happens. I love TRUMC. I think we already are open hearts, open minds, and open doors. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for this morning that you allow us to come together from different places and maybe with different understandings of things and different interests. But God, we come together each and every Sunday as the body of Christ to worship and to praise you. We come together each and every week as one body, seeking to better ourselves, to live more like your Son, Jesus. Lord, we need this time apart each week. We need it to be refreshed and to be renewed and to be able to take on whatever we encounter in the days ahead of us. And so we come grateful this morning to be able to pause from our daily lives and spend just a few moments with you. Lord, time and time again, Lord, we mess up and we find ourselves reliving that common phrase, that common conversation we have with you, God, that if you'll get me out of this, I'll never do it again. Lord, many times we try to bargain. We try to bargain with you and make deals with you, but we are thankful, God, that even though we know we are a sinful people, you still love us unconditionally. You offer us forgiveness and new grace and new mercies each and every morning. So allow us, oh God, to not become complacent in our daily journey. Forgive us for not moving as fast as we should in the past and for not helping someone in need when we could have. Oh God, you've given us spirit of discernment. But we also ask that you would give us wisdom to see beyond the transitory things in life and find you in your sustaining presence in all that we say and all that we do. Oh God, today we come and you know the silent cries of our heart. You know the needs we have. You know those who are struggling with sickness and disease and grief. And Lord, we come and we lift those persons up to you now, knowing that you are the great physician, the great healer. And Lord, we ask for your healing presence to be felt on each and every one that needs it. Oh God, we're thankful. We're thankful for our church and for the many ways that you use us as a church as a beacon of your love and grace in this community. We pray, Father, that you would help us to continue with that mission, to share your love and grace with all that we come in contact with. Pray all this in your Son's precious name, and we pray now the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to invite our children down front for a few minutes with Miss Paula this morning.
A long walk for you, isn't it? I am so glad you make that walk every week so that you can come and see us. How is everybody this morning? Good? Well, in a little bit, the bells are going to play, and I know sometimes y'all are very curious about the handbells, so I brought one with me today. I brought a handbell with me. The bell ringers didn't know I brought the handbell down here. So, I wanted to show you all the different sounds that a bell can make. Bells are really cool. I really like bells. So, you can play really loud, right? You can play really soft. And when you hear bell ringers playing really soft, they're working really hard, because it's actually really hard to play soft. It's really hard. So, you can play loud, you can play soft, but what's really cool is you can pluck it. That's kind of cool. Well, you know why I've got this the glove on is because you can't really touch the bells without a glove on, because otherwise it'll get tarnished. This is super cool. You can play with a mallet. Yeah, you can try the mallet. Good job. Good job. One of my favorites is you can shake it. You can shake it. You can table damp it. Now, I don't have a table, but I'm going to try to do it up here. So you can hit the table. Ooh, that sounds cool. And you can hit the table and come up, or you can hit the table and go down. All different kinds of things. Oh, you can thumb damp. Don't want to forget the thumb damp. There's all these different sounds that you can make with a bell. It's super cool. I really like it. And when we're playing the bells today, I want you to listen for all those different sounds. We're doing just about every single one of those sounds. So what's really cool about the bells, though, is that you can't play the bells by yourself. I can't play a whole song. Like if I tried to play Jesus Loves Me with this bell, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. If I asked Miss Rachel to play Jesus Loves Me on the piano, she could do that, just one line. One person can play the whole song on a piano, on a flute, on a violin, on a cello. Drums really can't play songs. On a guitar, one person can play a whole song, but on the bells, one person can't play the whole song. You need a whole team of people to play the bells. And that's one of the reasons I really like the bells. And that's reminding me, that also reminds me of scripture that says that we have to work together. So in the scripture today, Jesus tells his disciples to feed my sheep. And he says it three times, so you know it's really important. Take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. He says it three times, so it's really important. Now, if Jesus tells us to help people and feed our sheep and feed people that don't have food, can we do that by ourselves? Could you feed all the people that need food? No, there's too many. It's too big of a job. So when we do God's work, we need a whole team of people to help us. And the bells always remind me of that. Pastor Brian needs a whole team of people to do the worship service every Sunday. He can't do it all by himself. So we need to always keep that in mind. And there are always things that you can do, right? What can you do to help people? You can bring food to feed the hungry. You can bring your clothes when you outgrow them. You can bring your toys when you stop playing with them and share them with other people. And you can help in the worship service. You can sing in trumpets. You can hand out the bulletins and greet people. You can do the offertory and the offering plates. So all of you help. And it's important that you do that because we can't. It's too big of a job. We can't do it by ourselves. So while you're listening to the bells, I want you to think about that, and I want you to listen for all those different sounds that I showed you, okay? So let's pray. Dear Lord, be with us this week. Help us to remember to do God's work and do it as a team with our friends. In your name we pray. Amen.
Scripture lesson for this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 21st chapter, verses 4 through 19. John writes, "Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. And Jesus called to them, 'Children, have you caught anything to eat?' And they answered him, 'No.' He said, 'Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some.' And so they did, and there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around him, for he was naked, and he jumped in the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging a full net of fish, for they were far from shore, only about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish that you've caught.' So Simon Peter got up and pulled the net ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples before he was raised from the dead. And when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And Simon replied, 'Yes, Lord, you know I love you.' And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was sad that Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" Yet he replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around wherever you wanted. And when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go." He said this to show the kind of death in which Peter would be glorified God in. And after saying this, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Follow me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I could just sit and wait for all the goodness, hope to feel the presence. I could just stare at where I am, hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. And I could hold on to from the inside, and I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go. Safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go. Before me, 'cause you have called me higher.
Let's pray together. God, open our hearts and our minds by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that as your words are proclaimed on this day, we'd receive them with joy. Amen. I don't know about you, but how many of you learned something from Paula in the children's sermon this morning? Like, I love to hear our bells, especially when they're up there and you're seated down here and the music just kind of falls on you from the balcony. And I've watched them practice in other churches, but I never knew there were like names for all those things. I just thought you just did those things, you know, just. So thank all the bell players that are up there and they're playing today. This morning's gospel lesson is another one of those post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. And some of you that are pretty sharp might remember this passage from last Sunday, right? And a couple of the staff even texted me this week, are you really using the same passage, or is it like a misprint in our big planning thing? I was like, no, it's not a misprint. It's just so much going on in that passage that I decided to use it two Sundays. I decided to save some of last week's message for our communion meditation for this morning, because as I was rereading the gospel lesson getting ready for last week, I kept getting to a point in the scripture, and I had this phrase that kept popping into my head, and maybe it's a phrase that you've heard or you've used before, and the phrase was this: as I got to that part where Jesus and the disciples are eating on the beach, and he says, come and have breakfast, all I could think about was my mom always telling me, eat your breakfast. It is the most important meal of the day. Anybody ever said that to you, or how many of you have said that? Every mom in here probably said that, right? Or if you're a teacher, you probably said that to your students. If you're a nurse or a doctor, I'm sure you said that to your patients. But we all have heard that, right? Eat your breakfast. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And we don't just say that. There's actually studies that have found that there is a relationship between eating breakfast and learning ability, attention span, just our general well-being. Children who regularly eat breakfast think faster, clearer, and solve more problems more easily, and are less likely to be irritable. I think that's all of us, right? If you don't eat breakfast or eat something, sometimes we're just not good morning people. But think about that phrase, breakfast is the most important part of the day. You remember last week, I told you a lot about the passage, right? It's another one of the post-resurrection experiences. It's a few days after Easter. Peter, at this point, really doesn't know what to do. He's asking that question, now what, now what? He's still trying to make sense of all that had happened and all that he experienced, not only over the last 3 or 4 days, but probably over the last 3 years. He's trying to process all of that, and he doesn't know how to do it, and all he really knows to do when things get tough is go back to what he is used to doing, which is fishing, right? And so Peter, he tells the rest of the disciples, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to something that I'm pretty good at. And so some of the other disciples said, you know what, we're going to go with you, right? And we get that scene in the scripture. It's the disciples out fishing. But if you think about that passage, it kind of should remind you of another passage or another scene that happened about 3 years before this scene. It's almost like everything's coming full circle, because you remember 3 years before, Jesus stood on the same seashore and he issued an invitation to some fishermen, and those fishermen dropped everything they had and they followed Jesus, and their lives were changed dramatically, and now they're back out fishing, and Jesus is back on the shore, yet they don't really recognize him. And so the disciples, they fish all night, and they end up with nothing, which I think is still hilarious that they fish all night, these professional fishermen, and don't catch a thing. And Jesus is on the shore, and they don't know it's him, but they see him. And then he asked them a question. And I kind of jokingly said it's the question that everybody that's ever been fishing has been asked. If somebody walks up on you, they say, hey, have you caught any fish, right? Let me dive deeper into it, though, because the scripture says this. Jesus says, children, have you no fish? Biblical scholars agree that this might be the most patient, intimate, and loving lines in all of scripture. Children, do you have any fish? Think about it. Jesus had spent 3 years teaching these men about God's love and how to share that love in their lives with other people. And according to the gospel, he had shown them time and time again how to live out this love. He'd even shown himself to them the last 2 days. And I always remember when I'm talking about the disciples, my seminary professor called them the disciples. Right? The disciples. And what he said is, look, these guys followed Jesus around for 3 years. They got to see firsthand everything that he was teaching and preaching. They got to be with him day and night. Every single day, 365 days a year, they got to be with him. And yet they didn't get it. They were the disciples. Sometimes we're the disciples, aren't we? They've been with Jesus. They didn't get it. And they go right back to the thing that they know the best, right? Yet Jesus didn't give up on them. As a matter of fact, he lovingly and understandingly calls them children or friends. When he calls out to them, they say, no, we don't have any fish. Again, Jesus says, well, try the other side. Try casting your nets over there and see what you can catch. Sure enough, they catch fish. And then he invites them to come and have breakfast, one that he's already began to prepare. He's got a fire, and he's got fish, and he's got bread. He invites them to once again, full circle, come back and have a meal with him. Come and be fed. Come and find sustenance, I think, for the emptiness they were feeling. Come back to the place where it all began, on that same beach shore with Jesus. The interesting thing to me is at this point, they get it, right? It's like something snaps, something inside them. It all comes together, and finally they get it. All that he had taught them, all that they experienced, it all comes together, and they get it. They get it. I don't know about you, but I love this passage. And it's kind of come one of my favorite passages over the years because of this one thing. This one scene, Jesus and the disciples having breakfast on the beach. Like I can see it in my head, right? Jesus sitting around this campfire, and he's got fish and bread there, and they're sharing the food with each other, and they're having conversation, and this time they really understand what the conversations are, probably. They really understand who Jesus is. The other reason I like this story is because I think this is our story. It's our story, isn't it? When things aren't going our way, when we feel confused or lost or fearful, when things get tough for us, when we are filled with inadequate thoughts, when everything in our life is being called into question, when we feel as if we've been abandoned and we're alone, we often have the tendency to be just like the disciples. We run, we flee, we doubt, we deny, we give up, we go back to our old ways. And maybe that's where you are today. With all this going on, maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you are running or fleeing or doubting or denying or giving up or going back to some old ways that you know aren't good for you. Here's the good news of this entire passage. Jesus comes alongside of us and he calls us again and again and again to be faithful. He calls us out of our fears, out of our flight. He gathers us around. He nurtures us. He calls us his children. He loves us, and he showers us with grace. And this morning, the same invitation that he gave those disciples on the beach, he gives to us. Come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. Come and feed on this soul food that will take care of all of your needs. Come and find something that will fill all the emptiness in your lives. Christ our Lord invites to his table. All who love him, all who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We've rebelled against your love. We've not loved our neighbors. We've not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image, breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer now ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we now proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Just a moment, I'm going to invite those who are helping with communion this morning to come forward, and there are going to be two stations. And I invite you to come down the middle aisle, and you will come, and you'll come with your hands outstretched, and you'll receive the bread just as we receive God's love and grace. And then you'll take the bread, and you'll dip it in the cup, and take both elements in together. You're welcome to spend some time at the altar praying, or go back to your seat and pray. In the United Methodist Church, we practice open communion, which means that everyone is welcome at this table. Folks, we're like the disciples more than we want to admit sometimes, aren't we? We get all frustrated and flustered, and we go back to our old ways of doing things, but Christ continues to meet us. and invite us to come and have breakfast, to come and to be with him, to come and to follow him. And so that's the invitation today. Come and be fed. Come and find something that will fill all that your heart desires. Come and find Christ here at this table. You've all heard the invitation. I invite you, when the stations are set, to come and receive this meal. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself for us. Grant now that we might go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Continuing now to worship, we remember Jesus' words, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive, as we give God now his tithes and our offerings.
Stand for the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures hear me low.
If you're guests with us today for the first time, we are grateful that you have chosen to worship with us. Our hospitality team will be at the doors and they have a gift for you. If you want to know how to get plugged in here at TRUMC, then see me after the service or reach out anytime and I'll do my best to get you plugged in to all the ministries and programs here at Traveler's Rest. Let's close today with one more song.
Lord of my salvation, Savior of my soul, send me out
to the world and make you known. Jesus, King of every nation, this world's only old. Send me out to the world to make you known. Send me out to the world. Wanna be your hands and feet. Wanna be your voice every time I speak. Wanna run to the ones in need in the name of Jesus. Wanna give my life away, all for your kingdom's sake. Shine a light in the darkest place, in the name of Jesus. Carry to the brokenhearted mercy you have shown. Send me out to the world to make you known. To the ones in need of rest, believe me, I will go. Send me out to the world to make you known. Send me out.
Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all now and forever. Amen.